keep it going, because we're going to welcome our next guest onto the stage. He came third in the Lingo Festival Slam 2013. He's Cormac Bitts.
Hello, everyone. Is that okay? I'm going to get into it quick. Delighted to be here. I'm going to say hello to my father quickly over the radio, if that's okay. Say hi, Dad, because he's at home for whatever reason. Everyone on three, everyone say hi, Alistair, right? One, two, three. Hi, Alistair! Oh, we hope he's listening there. Okay, thanks very much. Cool, so I'll do two poems. The first one is about it's a couple breaking up in a cafe, basically. Oh, they're not breaking up. Let's just say they're having an argument. That's the spoiler alert there. It's a couple having an argument in a cafe, and one of them is really hungover, so we're talking claustrophobic, and then maybe breaking with kind of moments of just like breaking through. I don't know. I'll let you guys take it. I'll lead, and then you guys can follow if that's okay. And I have a refrain at the start and at the very end that I'll start, all right? So, guys, this guy is called Lump, and it is the second poem in the series of three, but we'll stand it alone tonight, so it's called Lump. And the series is called Footsteps. So these are the footsteps of the city. The feet that beat out their solitary song that echo out through the city, that echo out far and long. So now let's take a look at Sarah and Joe, sitting framed in a cafe window, silhouetted against the graying afternoon in a room just on the edge of town. You don't know them. But if you did, it would be easy to see that there's something amiss. Joe's pulling that long, frowny face of his with fixed eyes placed on patterned table, while Sarah, well, she's unable to stop fingering her moth-eaten sleeves, keeps lingering gaze on Joe's bowed head. The waitress comes up, she drops off two coffees, she leaves, she senses the tension and the mounting dread. It's a silence of tongue clicks and spoon stirs. The air is heavy with things unsaid. Outside, an old man shuffles by the window, the wind howling at his back. One hand holds onto a stick, the other clutches a battered bowler hat. He continues on his one way to the far end of the nearby park, where he'll sit for the day by the old duck pond and wait until it's dark. Back inside, and Sarah's giving Joe those searching headlight eyes. He's finding it difficult to see. He feels like he's in the firing line, because you know, recently, life hasn't been so kind on our two young lovers. Close confines of apartment has them sick of one another, and other than avoidance, there seems no choice but to fight. And you know, Joe had a few too many last night. Blew through the bulk of his meager, dull wealth, and this is the spark, okay? It's to light the fuse, to trigger the blast, to soon be felt. Joe's stomach is groaning. He's not in the best of health, while Sarah, she just keeps on moaning. He feels like he's gonna melt, while Sarah, she just keeps going, Joe, man, that fucking flat's not gonna pay for itself. See, Sarah, she's been working hard, paying their way. Split shifts 9 to 7, exhausted every day, while Joe moped around, was a bit of a slob. He had hit a bit of a slump. Woke at one, never really looked for a job. Their flat had become a bit of a dump. He'd wait till she left in the morning, and then quietly pillow sob. Around her, he had become a bit of a grump. He felt some days like he'd been cleaved clean in half, and all that was left was a bit of a stump. And bit by bit, there grew a lump that blocked out all the old flame light. Joe felt like every day was night, like every night, just the same old story again and again. All the colours were washed out, replaced with that single monochrome grey. So he looked for someone to blame, other than himself, for his feeling this way. And so he set his heart against Sarah, who once set it fluttering, muttering about how she was holding him down, frowning now, ripping up the sugar packets now, as the racket of the cafe closed in around him now, feeling like he's suffocating now, as he sees she's about to start giving out to him again. When do we stop being friends? Sarah asks him. When do we both become so alone? See, they've been together 9 years, had grown like vines entwined out of youth, but now the city was rotting to root. And to tell the truth, says Sarah, I feel like every day you love me less and less. And Joe won't meet her eyes. Tells her to leave it, okay? Just give it a rest. But Sarah, she won't let go. Joe, I think you might be depressed. But he doesn't want to hear this. Fear is scuttling along the outskirts of his brain while Sarah, she's saying there's plenty he can do. There's people he can see. Together, we, she's about to go on when Joe slams fist down, points fingers and says, "Do you know what, Sarah? Fuck you." And silence descends. And it molds around the word, but there's a buzzing in Joe's head. You see, he wants to take them back, but those words, they can't be unheard. No, those words, they can't be unsaid. And Sarah's lips crumple, tears start falling from her eyes. And Joe doesn't want to be the one to make her cry. But why the fuck does she have to keep hassling him? Depressed man, he's sick of her twisting lies. But maybe he should go over, you know? Apologize, but see, there's a lump in his throat and he's just not able. So instead, placing palms on pattern table and pulling back his chair and rising there, a snapshot, frame forever in memory. Here is a move, ladies and gentlemen, that he will regret until his dying day. The coffee suspended in the air above the cup, the customer's hands stretched out waiting to pay. Joe looks her square in tearing eyes, says, "Sarah, I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore. It's over." And then he sighs, twists, and walks away. Thanks. Cheers, lads. Sorry, there was a refrain at the end, but I felt it was right to end it there. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. All right, one more, real quick. Well, not real quick, it'll be like, well. Anyway, this is a completely different change of pace. This is another part of a three-part poem, but a different three-part poem, and it's called, actually, it doesn't have a fucking name, shit. Like cycling or something to do with cycling. Anyway, it's a cycling poem. So I'm cycling through Dublin, so we'll start off on a cycling beat. Then I like stop and get arrested by shitloads of memories. It's like, whoa. And then like kind of living in your past or whatever, so it's like, I don't know, like remembering things, like imagine like remembering a memory, but you're not there, but has that kind of piano heavy, maybe poignancy, and then we start cycling again. Whatever, like, do your, whatever that is, exactly. Anyway, so this is called, let's call it Richmond Road, okay? And yeah, thanks for listening, it's been fucking brilliant. All right, so we'll go with cycling music then, right? Right, so I'm on my own way home, and 109 Richmond Road awaits my pedaling feet. But see, first I must traverse the racket of the lunchtime traffic on Dorset Street. Man, the wind is behind me, the fire beneath me. I live neatly around cars, avoiding stopping completely, wheel easily. Past car dealers and food delis and dodgy stores selling broken tellies. Past faces gone, past familiar haunts, past open bars, past closed restaurants, past chippers, past chicken huts, past kebab wrappers, cigarette butts, past banks and the workers file and rank, and the rank D1 casino with its rotting stench of desperation, and the neon lit sex store with its hot stench of masturbation. Past people, past places, past old men with whiskey faces, the bookies, the dogs, the horses, and the rat races. Past fluidity, past stasis, passed on, past it all, past Dorset, and over Drumcondra Bridge, and the L Triangle, and the Royal Canal, and Brendan Behan's thinking face, past where I used to sit. There, man, right fucking there, and drink cans and smoke spliffs and waste away days in a green, amber, red haze. Stop. In the days, the past consumes me. All the years, the fears, the tears rise up out of the water between those locks, swirling and curling around. The memories come for me. The memories surround. The memories that once comforted me now come to drown me in a vision of before, so that I am not cycling home anymore, but elevated, suspended, locked in the air above where it all ended, in the air above where it all began, in the air there above the twin heartbeats of Drumcondra Road and Phibsborough and the rushing vein of the Royal Canal, in the air there looking down, looking back through the winding paths, the networks of arteries and capillaries, the blind alleys and contingencies that led me to where I am today, in the air there above Connacht Street, where I first woke up, had a childhood sweet and selfish slumber, and came to really know pain
and misery and beauty and fucking wonder at how someone so full of life can just die and not live to see the shattered memories that she left behind. And I wonder now at how memories, though shattered, still shine within my mind. The shards crisscross like jigsaws, and a true picture of them I'll never be able to find in the air there. I can see my life in front of me and behind, and it's finite, blind, rushing along a fading swan song hidden beneath the canal's endless blood flow. And that's blood red, amber, green, go, no, push forward, break free from your suspension. The suspension of my bike buckles me out of my reverie just in time to see a car swerve neatly to avoid me. Whoopsie. The footpath nearly meets me, trees and buildings again greet me, eyes refocus, feet pedal bitter, better, sweetly, relieving me of my burden, and hurtling me somewhere, and hurting me somehow. Where? Where was I just now? Where was I going? Home, that's it. Back to my home, my only home, back to my home. For now, my home, back to my home, my brand new home, my home on Richmond Road.
Cormac Fitz. Kung Fu Band, ladies and gents. They make it sound easy. And one more time for Cormac Fitz.